Welcome to Malcolm Reed's How to Barbecue Right, a podcast where we talk about barbecue, share recipes, and discuss all things delicious. And now, here's your host, Malcolm and Rochelle Reed.
Hey, let me tell you about a brand new sponsor we have, Schwenk Grills. Schwenk Grills is a portable 1,500-degree cooking machine. It uses infrared heat, which is perfect for cooking steaks to perfection in as little as 3 minutes, Shell. You can cook just about anything from steak, lobster, even pizza with all the accessories that Schwenk has available. And they're also giving our listeners a little $150 off the purchase, Shell. How do they do that?
There's a link in the description with a coupon code to receive $150 off Schwenk Grills. Use the code HOWTOBBQRIGHT. And that is SCH Wank.
Go get a Schwenk. Practically schwanked them. So welcome to the How to Barbecue Right podcast. I'm your host, Malcolm Reed, and I'm joined by my lovely, talented wife, Miss Southern Shell, rocking her fresh whiskey bent hat company from Brownsboro, Texas today. Got Tyler over on the boards. What's going on, folks?
We are trying out the new GE indoor smoker.
Y'all may wonder what that little humming noise is on the side, right to my left. And I don't know. Look at that. That is what you call an indoor smoker. And we talked about this, and the folks over at GE said, hey, we'll send y'all one. We said, well, no obligations, because we don't know if we're going to like it or not.
Yeah.
But if you want to send one to us, we'll try it. And then I said, you know what? It's indoor. Let's put it in the podcast. It's starting to smell good. We got some smoked sausage on that dude. We got some cream cheese on that top shelf. We're fixing to have some snacks.
Yeah, we're not really doing some heavy duty cooking.
Oh no, we just threw. What more excuse do you need to do? It's a link of country pleasing and a block of cream cheese.
It's gonna be good.
I'm fixing to take that pepper jelly in that jar sitting right there beside it, that Lottie's, and I'm gonna cover that cream cheese with it, and I'm finna feed y'all
some. And we got some Ritz
before this podcast is over.
So yeah, we put it on right before we started. Yeah. And pushed. So.
Yesterday. Tyler, you're the one that messing with this thing. Yeah. What'd you do to it?
I was, and I was skeptical getting it all together. I mean, it wasn't in that many pieces and stuff, but like just seeing like the cooking space and area of it, I don't know. It just didn't really seem like it would hold a lot. Then after I got it together, because it actually comes with three shelves. We only have two shelves in it right now. The cream cheese on the top, the smoked sausage on the bottom.
Is it dented?
I think it is.
It came beat in a little bit. This is the Bash and Dent model shell. With this nice little crease. It's character.
Yeah.
But
it still works.
Many folks would have sent that back, but hey, since it was free.
Yeah, you can't really complain.
We didn't know if it needed like a smoke-in process or anything like that, so we just kind of did it anyways just to see. It goes up to only 300 degrees. You can put smoke level 1 through 5. The difference, I really don't know. It didn't really seem any smokier on 1 or 5. It holds 2 cups of pellets, and on smoke level 5, we were burning through them pellets pretty quick.
Oh, really?
It came with like a pound bag of pellets. Did it come with one of these or two of them?
It was just one.
Yeah. And this one's all gone now.
How many pellets does it hold? 2 cups?
Yep. Just 2 cups. So we kind of did the math. We're like, if you were doing an overnight pellet grill butt on this, I don't know, because it might have just been the burning process, but it seems like you'd be filling up that hopper a little bit. But...
like every hour?
Yeah. Like every hour.
I mean, it's mint. You know, it's indoor use. It's not like you get a ton of smoke out of one anyway, but if it gives it a little flavor, it might work.
Yeah.
I mean, we got it rocking at 250 right now, right?
250. Mm-hmm.
And I can smell it, but there's no smoke.
Yeah, no, it's not smoking. It's out of it. And we're in this little podcast room. It smells like a pellet grill.
Yeah,
I will say that. It smells a lot. It didn't have that initial fire up, you know, where a pellet grill gets really smoky till the pellets get going. It didn't do that, but I'm imagining it's got a lot of electrical heat to it. So think of a toaster oven with pellets.
And then it's got this like water pan that goes, it's in the bottom right hand side. It says the waste bin right there.
Yeah.
And you have to like load it full of water. And what it does is like the pellets go through the auger and, you know, they light on fire, and then it like throws them into the water to like cool it, I guess, so that there's no fire hazards, I guess. Okay.
And then, before it's over, I want us to crank it up to 5 and see what happens. What are we on right now?
We're on 3.
Okay. 3, 250 on 3. It's got a probe you put in it. Like, I took the probe out. I didn't need that.
I'm not what are we going to put it in the cream cheese?
Internal tip my cream cheese. That's what that top thing is on there. It's like you set that probe. Like, I guess Tyler's got it at 202 now.
Yeah.
But you can set that probe temp whatever you want, and I guess it'll kind of let you know how you're getting there.
It's got Wi-Fi and stuff like that, so if you want to look at the temps from your phone, all that good stuff, it's all there. I didn't really mess with the Wi-Fi much. We were just kind of
We're going to keep it up here. Use it for lunches.
That's what I told them. I was like, I'm going to open like once a week around lunchtime. I'm going to start cooking stuff on this and letting people come to the
indoor smoke it.
Tyler's Cafe at the Had a Barbecue Right Malcolm Shop.
Get you some ribs, get you some chicken. Originally, we talked about doing chicken wings because to me, that's a. Can you cook?
Yeah.
Can you cook some chicken wings? But
I don't know if we could do it in a podcast.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't even go above 300. So, like, my thing is.
Oh,
that's high as it goes.
Yeah. So, you usually cook chicken wings on a Pellet Grill 400. Yeah. So, I'm like, I don't know if it'd turn.
I wonder how long it would take. It'd probably take it. Yeah. So, this weekend, you cooked a steak.
I cooked a delicious steak.
You cooked one of the best steaks I've ever had.
It was fine.
So do you want to talk about the meat first or do you want to talk about the process?
Well, it was some Browsey Acre Ranch beef that I got. And that's Ronda Rousey and her husband, Travis Brown. They've made Browsey Acres. And
are they the ones growing the
cattle? Yeah. They're raising like, know where your product's coming from, raised on the ranch, feed it all good stuff. And it's like grazed. I don't know if it's all grass fed, but it's like American Wagyu.
It's
grass fed, but then they finish it on grain is what he told me when I talked to him. And I just wanted to try it and taste the beef and tell you what, I was pretty dang impressed. It was really, really good. One of the better steaks I've cooked in a while. And it was just one of those Saturday night specials. Like, let's just throw something on it, get it on a Weber over some hot coals. Don't cook it too long. Get it off and eat it with a baked potato.
And so it was a cushy beef.
A cushy.
Is that, am I saying it correctly?
A cushy.
Or you don't know.
No, that was that Heartland brand beef. That was the cushy. This is just American Wagyu.
Oh.
That's what I'm thinking. Cushy was that other one that I tried.
Well, I did a whole bunch of research on the cushy.
Well, I mean, we cooked that too. We did a video with it.
That was the try.
I was just trying out that Heartland brand beef to try, you know, I'm not going to turn down some beef tonight.
Yeah. So what was the ribeye we had?
It was different.
American Wagyu. Yeah, it wasn't the cushy.
Hmm.
Okay.
I cooked the cushy tri-tip. I hadn't cooked the cushy steak yet.
Okay.
But it's supposed to be some of the best tasting Wagyu you can get. Oh, well, I don't even know if it's like, I don't even know if they consider it Wagyu. Don't ask
it
me.
Can me tell you?
Yeah, tell me all about it because I don't know that much about it. I'm not an expert on Japanese beef at all.
Is it Wagyu or Wagyu?
I call it Wagyu.
We have always said Wagyu.
Redneck. I don't know.
So Wagyu is a collective. A Wagyu is a collective term for all Japanese cattle. Wagyu translates simply enough as Japanese cow.
Okay. Makes sense.
Yeah. A cushy is a specific Wagyu cattle breed, separate and distinct from other Japanese cattle breeds. So Wagyu is known around the world for its unbelievable taste, texture, and tenderness, and a cushy takes the unbelievable taste, texture, and tenderness to the next level.
To another level.
This is, of course, I got all this straight from the Heartland website.
Okay. So it's a specific species of Wagyu beef.
And the thing that makes it different is most cattle store much of their fat under their hide, but a cushy are one of the few breeds that naturally deposit fat intermuscularly.
I will say this, that tri-tip was so marbled.
And that's rare.
It was phenomenal.
So the distribution of marbling improves the tenderness and flavors, which, you know.
What'd you think about it?
The tri-tip?
Yeah.
It was really good. I thought that's what I was eating in that ribeye.
Yeah.
So
little did you know. I done swapped up brands on you.
So the Heartland cattle, they say they conduct DNA verification to preserve the purity of the Akushi breed and ensure a consistent high-quality beef eating experience.
That sounds like marketing.
So let me tell you why they say it's heart healthy. You want to hear this?
Yeah, that was what got me. They said, this is heart healthy beef. I said, okay, let's hear that spin.
So a cushy beef has a higher concentration of monounsaturated fat.
Good fat.
Yes. The American Heart Association notes that it can lead to lower cholesterol, the prevention of coronary heart disease, and weight loss.
I can eat that fatty beef and it's going to make my heart better and help me lose some weight.
Yes. Yeah. We need some more of that. Yeah.
They make those kind of Reese's peanut butter cookies.
So, a cushy beef, I'm smelling burnt over there. Are y'all smelling? It smells like burnt plastic.
Tyler, zoom in on our picture. I can't see this thing sitting beside me. Oh, no, it's doing fine.
Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah, you got to lay 4 inches around the...
If we burn something up today in here in the podcast room.
Okay, so Akushi beef is also a natural source of oleic acid, which gives it the buttery taste and is good for the heart. And oleic acid is actually a monounsaturated omega-9 fatty acid.
I wonder how many doctors out of 10 say it's healthy for you. Just like one of them said he thinks it is, or is it like 9 out of 10 healthy beef?
I didn't get that.
Fatty, healthy beef.
But we got to eat.
That's all I needed was proof. That it was. I believe it.
I just need you to tell me. You eat this big old steak, you're going to lose weight.
Yeah. See how that works for us. I already know.
So the steak that you cooked this weekend, how did you cook it?
Oh, all I did was.
How'd you season it?
I did a little bit of Willingham's because I like a little bit of that Worcestershire flavor on it. And so instead of doing like a marinade, I dusted some Willinghams on it and let it melt, and it kind of reconstitutes some of that dehydrated Worcestershire in that.
Willinghams is easy to get nationwide?
No, probably. I mean, yeah, you can probably get it on Amazon. I don't know very many people that sell it, but it's a Memphis thing.
Yeah.
I can find it in my local grocery store.
You could probably just order Worcestershire powder online.
Yeah, but it's got a little something else in it, too. I mean, it's like, it's one of those things that's, like, a little of it goes a long ways because it will really get strong on you. But I just like that little flavor of Worcestershire on the steak. So I put a base of that. And I hit it with a little bit of Mark and Jamie's prime beef. And then a little bit of onion powder, a little bit of garlic powder, and a little bit of TX for the little crunch on top. And that was all I put on it. It was something simple. And then I threw it over hot coals. I had one of those new grill grates on there, like universal one or whatever. So I just set it on the middle. And I did two steaks at a time. Minute and a half, turn them minute and a half, flip them minute and a half, start temping them. When I saw it get to like 125, they're off, breast them. I put down a little bit of butter, just nothing fancy, just a little bit of pat of butter on a sheet pan and laid that hot steak on it. Just let it sit there and melt while I cook the other two, and then it was time to eat them. I did two strips and two ribeyes. That's what they sent me.
They were
phenomenal.
It was
excellent.
It was seasoned perfectly. It was cooked perfectly. The meat just melted in your mouth.
It was all around. Texture, flavor, everything was really good on those.
So do you know what breed of cow that was?
No, I didn't do any research on all that.
Okay.
They just told me to try it, see what I thought.
I'll come back feedback. Next week.
Yeah.
I'll tell you how this.
Tell me how those different.
Are going to help us lose weight too.
Yeah. They're good for you too, turns out.
So you mentioned that grill grates. Grill Grates has a new product.
But what they did was made a universal grill grate that fits most all grill. Yeah. So they've always like been grill specific to where they make different size panels. Either the length's different or the edges, because depending on the shape of the grill, they change them up. And you could, buy some that were kind of universal panels and fit your own together. But this is the first one that's like a solid piece. And it fits most grills, and it's perfect size for like grilling a couple steaks, and which is really, really all you need.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know how many times I've needed to cover my whole grill surface with the grill grate, because a lot of times you don't use the edge, and a lot of times I want some room to, to get over to get some direct heat or get off the heat or something, or not just set it on a grill grate. And so it kind of worked.
I've always thought that grill grates, they're awesome. I've always loved grill grates, but I've always thought the big holdup was you have to buy product specific
for each grill.
Yeah.
Yep.
But this is a genius idea. Just do a panel. I thought it was one panel too,
and you don't have to worry about piecing stuff together, because that's always been a problem. Like when you take them apart a lot, or they get that grimy little gritty stuff on the edges, and they don't want to fit back together good, and they're just it can be a pain to lock them all back together once you take them apart. But just it's a one flat panel. There's nothing to it.
And I think it's great for like taking with you, maybe camping or. Mm-hmm. Go into a VRBO or something where they have a grill, but
you know what situation. I've run across that a bunch of times where, we got a grill, there's a grill to use, it's included. And you get there and the grate's just wrecked or whatever. But if you travel with your little grill grate in a bag,
you showed up at catering jobs like that. Yeah, we got a grill.
Yeah. I mean, just get two metal pans and some coals and I'll set that grill grate over and I can cook something.
Yeah, there you go.
Grill.
How are we doing over there?
Doing good.
Smoking.
Smelling.
I think it was either the
probably cooking some moo off of it or something. Oh, you think something's getting hot?
Yeah, because I don't smell it anymore.
No, I don't either.
So Saturday night, kind of for an appetizer, I did a spinach artichoke dip.
Man, that was a quick and easy dish, too.
That's what I was going to talk about.
You didn't do the old thaw it out, squeeze it out, mix it up.
No.
You cheated.
I went and you'll appreciate this, Tyler. I went to Walmart and in like the hummus section, they have a bunch of dips.
Mm-hmm.
And so I bought the artichoke and spinach dip and brought it home, added 2 big spoons of blue plate mayo, added a spoon of sour cream, added some AP seasoning, some Euro Hero, and then mozzarella inside, and then topped it with mozzarella and baked it. It was really, really good.
I liked it better than like the homemade spinach dip.
Yeah.
It was creamier.
Sounds delicious. It's kind of like when you take sauce out of the jar and you like jazz it up and make it even better.
It was just a quick and easy appetizer without having to do too much.
Great idea.
And it was delicious, really. It was better than most restaurant ones.
I have to try that.
I got me another turkey this past weekend.
Okay.
So I've got turkey recipes coming up. Wild turkeys.
Kind of getting tired of hearing the turkey calls.
Are you? How can you be tired? I'm just learning.
You're practicing.
You have to.
Every day.
I can finally make a sound on the thing that sounds somewhat in the neighborhood range of a turkey.
It's like when you have a sixth grader trying to learn to play the trumpet.
Yeah,
that's exactly what it's like. It's like an instrument, man. You got to learn how to do it, and you can't do it unless you practice. That is driving Shell crazy. Like if you try to blow a mouth call, a turkey mouth call, it makes some horrendous noises.
And it's loud.
It's loud. It's high-pitched. It's squealing. It's me choking on the call. I'm not good at it.
It's like when I had a roommate that practiced Guns N' Roses over and over and over.
You got tired of Sweet Child O' Mine?
Yes. Burner, burner, burner. Yeah. So last week you asked why are some peppers hotter than others? You have a jalapeno.
I said that it was because the heat levels of the sun and they get hotter. And so that makes the pepper hotter. I don't know if that's fact at all. That was just from personal experience.
It's the stress
that the plant's under makes the heat.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So I guess the heat
so that
would,
does apply.
Yeah.
If it's 120 degrees and that pepper plant's struggling, it's gonna make a hotter pepper, yeah. But if it's like a mild 75, he's gonna be sweeter and he's gonna be milder.
So you can actually tell which ones are hotter just by looking at them.
How?
When you pick up a jalapeno, you know how some of them are like they have stretch marks almost.
Mm-hmm. That veiny look kind of. Yeah.
Those are hot. The more that shows stress,
mm-hmm.
that means the pepper went under stress in its life, so it's gonna be a hotter pepper. If it's smooth and shiny. Those are going to be more
young,
mild.
Smooth, and shiny.
Yeah. It's just like women.
He's wild. He ain't wild. That mean ornery one's been through some stuff. Yeah. He's been down through there. He's going to be a little hotter, a little spicier.
Yeah. As pepper plants grow in age.
Pop off.
Exactly. As the pepper plants grow in age, they encounter several environmental factors that put stress on them, like water, sunlight levels, blah, blah, blah. And these result in the marks, lines, and flecks of the fruit. And that results in higher concentration of capsaicin.
And that makes it hotter. That's good to know.
Yeah.
So when you're looking for your peppers, you go through there and see if they got a lot of stress. Tell them to chill out.
Wait, a jalapeno is a fruit?
Peppers are considered fruits, I would imagine.
Really?
I guess because they have seed.
Aren't they considered just peppers?
I think it's probably
are
a fruit.
Peppers fruit?
That's crazy. Because, I mean, it makes sense.
Tomatoes are fruit.
I think anything was... can't remember.
It's something about that, Tyler. If it's got seed pods or something, it's a...
peppers are fruit.
There we go.
That's crazy.
Botanical classification.
That is awesome.
You didn't know you were getting your fruit intake in?
No, I didn't. Every day. We eat jalapenos like all the time, so... I use that.
So what else you got on the interesting learning corner?
I wanted to talk to you about Primo Grills.
Ooh.
Because you've used one for a while, but we hadn't really talked about it.
Yeah. No, I've started using them here recently. We kind of started a partnership with Primo, and my buddy Mike Radosovich from Code, he was from Code 3. They had a barbecue store. They've got their own rub and sauces, him and his partner Chris, and he ended up going to work for Primo and helping them out. And, you know, I've known about Primo Grills for a long time. It was their ceramic grill, but what was unique about them is that oval shape. And I've always thought that was genius because, you know, most ceramic grills are the Kamado style grills. They're just round. So think of like a Weber style, that great. But when you go to that oval shape that Primo has, it gives you more of a range to cook on.
Wow.
So you can, it's easier to cook whole briskets on it. It's easier to cook, multiple slabs of ribs or pork butts. And you can do like true two-zone cooking because they separate the fire chamber to where you actually have on one side of the oval is a complete cool side that you can isolate off. From
even
the
on the
side.
Small ones?
Even on, don't they have one round model? I think the little one or something. I don't know. I hadn't really paid attention to all their total lineup. Mm-hmm. I've just been cooking on one of the XLs. And they're working on a brand. They've had it under development for a while, but it's almost ready to like go to market. It was this new XXL. It's huge. So they brought one down and we did some filming at the smokehouse with it. I got to cook on this brand new one, but I've been doing some recipes with the XL and I love cooking on it. I mean, it's a cooking machine.
What do you like about it?
I just like the way it's easy to control the heat on it. So no matter if I've done, low and slow smokes with it. I've done some hot and fast cooking. I've grilled with it. I've kept my two zones going. I did one of the recipes I did was like a Greek style rib that we released that one, haven't we?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. That one. And it was like, you could smoke the ribs on one side of it. And then when you got ready, instead of glazing them, I just kind of char grilled them, and you can pull the heat diverter out real easy on the Primo. And all of a sudden you've got access to hot coals and you can do whatever kind of charring or direct searing you want on it. Just makes it easy.
Yeah. It's virtual.
And it doesn't take a whole lot of charcoal to run the thing. I mean, it's not like you're constantly filling it up with coals.
Usually when you go to cook on it, you've got some left from the
previous cook. Yeah. Use briquettes. I try to change it out because it doesn't relight well.
What difference does it make whether you use lump or briquette?
You save some money running lump because, usually lump burns a little hotter, but in a ceramic style grill, you can put it back out after a shorter cook, so you can get multiple burns off that lump, which is briquettes. It absorbs moisture and it just wants to fall apart once you get it initially burning. So it's not going to last to relight it. That's the biggest difference. Usually briquettes a little cheaper than lump, but I use both.
Yeah.
I use a lot of both, man. I've been cooking a lot with the supersized rolled oak briquettes. I really think that's a good
product. Yeah.
It's just a bigger briquette, to hold heat, and they hold together better, it seems like.
How much bigger are they?
They're probably almost double the size of the natural. But it's a good, I really think it's a good briquette.
Have you ever bought the, Walmart brand or
Old Diz or something like that?
Yeah. And they're, tiny little squares.
So the bitty ones.
Well, those burn up quicker and
they do.
Turn to ash quicker.
Smart. Yeah, they just, they don't hold as much BTU. They burn out faster, go to dust. Some of the smaller stuff does.
Well, now would be a great time to take a Primo commercial break.
All right. The How to Barbecue Right podcast is brought to you by our friends at Primo Grills. Shell, did you know that Primo is the only ceramic grill made right here in the good old USA?
What? Are you telling me that Primo Grills are proudly crafted here in the USA, ensuring top-notch quality and support for local craftsmanship?
I sure am. Plus, Primo Grill not only delivers mouth-watering flavor, but because of their innovative oval design and superior ceramic construction, Primo Grills also gives you a ton of cooking versatility.
Whether you're smoking low and slow or searing a steak to perfection, Primo Grills gives you the consistent heat distribution for mouthwatering results every time.
What she said, y'all. Y'all visit primogrill.com and check them out.
Are you getting hot over there?
Yeah. I'm getting hot over here, man. Ain't no joke. I'm popping a little sweat, but this thing's putting off some heat beside me.
They should have put it by me.
You like the heat. Tyler, did you turn the air down?
I did. I put it on 69.
You're supposed to be cooking in this small of an environment with this thing.
I'm getting contact high in here or something.
Maybe we should crack a door. I don't know.
Being here knocked out, carbon monoxide.
Getting a little giggly.
Are you sure this thing's been tested?
I don't know.
I can definitely smell it.
I can smell it. What's it looking like?
Let me open it.
See what happens.
Again.
Oh, yeah.
Y'all see that? The book put back.
It's smoking, yeah.
Great question. I just take up TV. Smoke sauce.
Keep on cooking, Jack. This is live and in progress in the podcast now. It's the first ever we've actually cooked something on the podcast.
Y'all, you do have me a little worried about keeping these doors shut and breathing.
Yeah.
Well, I was sitting here thinking about it, and I was like, if we had a gorilla in here and we were rolling it, like, we would already be on the ground. Yeah. Like, there'd be no way. And smoked out, so.
So I got a few, I have a great question that I thought was really interesting. It was about sausage casings. So John asked, I see collagen and natural casings on Amazon, which I understand are intestinal tissue. What do people like? Where do you get them? And which brands do you like?
Man,
I've never really,
that's the one kind of sausage that I've never made is like cased sausage. I've used like summer sausage casings to do summer sausage, which is not a natural, I guess it's a synthetic fiber of some kind.
Yeah, but are summer sausages. It's almost like a fabric.
You don't eat that.
Isn't it?
You don't eat that casing. But the natural ones are the ones like, you know, you said your granddad, they used, and your uncles, they would make like smoked sausage, mm-hmm. like, you know, raw meat, mix it up, case it, smoke it. And they would use a natural pork casing. Most of the time you get them from processors, but I think you can find them at like Academy now, and some of the sporting goods stores are going to have casings. People are into it.
I remember being a kid and like you'd pick up the casing because you had to blow in it first to get it open to get it on the little thing.
Yeah.
I remember it being real salty.
I bet. It was packed in some kind of salt brine probably.
They were just like little worm
looking
things.
Intestines or guts. I love sausage. I'm fixing to eat some now. I don't know if it's natural or synthetic casing, but. I would say most people probably use a natural, but I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong if you wanted to use a synthetic.
So David answered the question
in the community, and
he said he is a commercial sausage producer.
What do they use?
So this is what he says. David says most sausages with a good snap are going to be a natural casing, mm-hmm. probably hogs. 32 to 35 is common if you're making links, 35 to 38 if you want a thicker ring bologna style. I don't know what those numbers mean.
Yeah, I don't. That's got to be the thickness of the casing.
Okay, the thickness of the casing.
Yeah.
Collagen casings are made from derivative tissues of animals.
That don't sound too good. Derivative animal tissue, Eddie? Just derivative animal tissue? What could that be? Just any kind of sinew they want to put together? I'll stick with the natural.
I think he says that those work best if you're going to cure and make your own like snack stick style sausage.
Like think of Slim Jim.
Yeah, like
if you're making those.
I love a good Slim Jim.
You know, that ain't natural. There ain't nothing natural about a Slim Jim.
They're so spicy and good.
Greasy. Wreck your guts.
Hey, I buy them up here and
they go fast. Michael loves them.
So they say a lot of people make the mistake and buy the cheaper collagen casings. But high-quality collagen can give a great snap when you bite into a snack stick. Cheap collagen often gives it a flimsy, paper-peeling-away texture when you bite into it. Fibrous casings are more of a paper casing, and you can peel them off before your consumption.
So you're not supposed to eat the fibrous ones, basically?
So that's probably what you use for your summer sausage.
Yeah, I would imagine that's probably synthetic because it's thicker.
Yeah, it says that's what you see on summer sausages, bologna tubes, salamis.
But that's not what you see on snack sticks. Snack sticks, you eat the whole casing and all.
Snack sticks are collagens.
Okay. But it's some kind of animal derivative. It's not necessarily intestinal.
Yeah.
It's just some kind of animal derivative.
Seems like one of those words that they can just get away with more if they call it.
Yeah, we're not going to tell you what that's derived from. But it is. You don't want to know what it's derived from.
Overseas casings sell a lot of high-quality casings for commercial companies. So, I don't know. Sorry.
Is that a fact? I bet they do.
Ta-da! There we go. But anyway,
you learned more about casings than you probably wanted to on that deep dive, didn't you?
But if you're looking for a good snap, get a natural casing.
And that's what
good
you
quality.
Want. That's the trick to a good sausage is the snap in it.
I think so too.
Hot gut Slim sausage Jim. With a good snap. Man.
Slim Jim's got a snap.
They market the snap. Snap into it. I don't even think they snap. They just kind of grease and squish.
But they're so good. So Mark is cooking some slabs of St. Louis ribs for a birthday party this Saturday. Party starts at 2, but he's going to be cooking the ribs earlier in the day. What's the longest he can hold a rib?
A couple of hours. They do, you know, I mean, you could hold them a little bit longer, but
when you
be optimally
hours,
best. I think optimally best. I like a rib to hold, you know, 2 hours. So is it going to be horrible at 4? Probably not. It'll probably still be okay, you know. But, you know, you want to make sure they stay warm. You know, you don't want to have to, if you got to get them below 140, you're in that window to where, you know, you got to eat them or get them cooled down and then reheat them some kind of way. But just know, like, if you're holding them, just watch how long you're holding them.
Put them in a dry cooler.
Yeah, dry cooler, a couple hours, go to the event or whatever. Put them on that morning. It's going to take, you know, 5.5 hours to cook some ribs probably.
They'll probably be better in the hold.
Yeah, they will. They will. People will love them. That's the key, man. Hold.
That was definitely a trick that, because you've always held briskets. You've always held butts, things like that. But you didn't start holding ribs until recently.
Not really. We were always like ribs and chicken come out, glaze, and go right on. You know, you might just let them sit and air vent just a little to get the heat, but we never really did stick them in a box. When we figured out you could stick them in a cooler or a Cambro or something and hold them and let them really get happy, that's when they rib score started doing really good. It was just a better, the texture on the rib, the tenderness on the rib was better after it set and rested a little bit.
Just don't put them in too tight of a
cooler. Yeah, you don't want it like a Yeti. It'll lock it up.
That's what
it'll nuke them. You'll make the bones fall out, Tyler.
Yeah. Just make sure you burp them. Very important.
How are we doing?
Did anybody get anything to like get this out of this grill?
Are you ready to try your sausage?
So we have got off the smoked sausage and the cream cheese. Shell's done dumped some of that Lottie's pepper jelly over the top of that cream. I don't even know if you can see what you're doing on camera, Shell. But you have got some cream cheese fresh off an electric smoker on a Ritz cracker with the pepper jelly. Are you going to put a little piece of sausage on top of it and try it?
Oh, is that what I was supposed to do?
Yeah, that's exactly what you were supposed to do.
I was going to try them separate.
Okay, try it separate. Now, that might be hot.
Oh, it's steaming.
Yeah, I'm sitting over sweating.
It's starting to cook up.
Yeah. I'm about done. What do you think? Cream cheese.
Cream cheese.
Tastes like it's smoked right here in the office. That thing works, man. It smells smoky in here. I mean, it's not like smoking you out smoky, but the, oh man, what'd you do? Uh-oh. That's for the dogs.
Not any smoke ring.
There ain't going to be.
Yeah.
I would think. Not on smoked sausage.
And the cream cheese didn't get like dark.
It doesn't have like, yeah. You put a little rub. We put a little rub on it.
Yeah, we put rub
on it. But it didn't get like dark. Yeah.
You know, on a pellet smoker.
It'll colorize it a little more. What would you think? Could you serve an appetizer with that right there?
Sure.
Cooking with it?
I mean, smoked sausage,
it just tastes like smoked sausage.
It just
you don't
tastes
get any
heated.
Smoke at all. Well, we got to try something else.
Yeah, we'll try some
wings. We got to try some wings.
Something.
But we did that live right here on the podcast, so I'm pretty impressed.
Pretty good.
For 30 minutes to have smoked sausage and a cream cheese appetizer with the Ritz crackers and a pepper jelly, you got something. So what we got coming up?
This weekend we're doing you're cooking catfish.
Yes.
Catfish King of Mississippi.
We're having a brim, cane pole brim fishing extravaganza. Friendly competition between me and the buddies.
You're calling it a brimathon?
Yeah, we're going to have a few kids involved. It's a brimathon. We're going to have a shotgun start from 10 to 1. Most brim and biggest brim.
Oh.
Only on a cane pole. No, we're going old school.
And then you're going to go back.
Crickets and worms. That's all you can use.
And then you're going to go back. And
I bought some catfish fillets in case we don't catch enough brim. You know how long it's been since I caught a fish on a cane pole? I couldn't tell you the last time. It had to be a kid. Just something I don't never do.
What is like a cane pole?
piece of cane with a string on it and a hook and a bobber.
It's a stick.
It's like old cane. School,
like, yeah.
I like cane. The Snoopy poles. I want.
Yeah, oh no, it's not Snoopy.
Super
that's
simple.
Too fancy.
I know, but that's what I want.
You don't get any more cane pole. Is the way fishing started. Just find you a stick, tie you a string to it, and catch you a fish.
Do you do that thing?
No, you can't cast it. You just flick it. You just swing it out and put it. It ain't going far. It's just the string's as long as the pole. So
you don't really reel it in or anything.
No,
no.
It's all wrist and lift action.
Do you pick it up? Have a bobber?
Yeah.
Okay. Bobber and a hook.
Bobber and a hook and a little split shot weight. Cricket. Tube of crickets. Get to fishing.
Hate that I'm going to miss it.
Oh, you're not going to be, you got it. Yeah, your watch's going to work, didn't you?
Yeah. We were planning on doing it last week and then we did this weekend, but I just love any opportunity to take my kids out there to fish, man.
It's
fun. Yeah.
It's fun getting really outside fun. For sure.
And the Catfish King of Mississippi is going to be frying catfish. So.
He literally.
Soon to be Brim King. Bluegill. The Bluegill King.
You literally like made catfish for me though. Cause like I've lived here for like 20 years. Never liked catfish. Tried it a few different times, different places. Never a big fan. You made it one time for a video and I tried it and I was like, man, I can eat this.
It's a Mississippi delicacy.
Oh, it's delicious.
Fried catfish, pond
crispy rice. And light.
Yes.
And
I think the ones I was eating were just too thick.
Yeah,
probably so. You had the Delcata cut or whatever they call that. Yeah. It's a big thing. I don't like that.
I like the little crispy.
Thin and crispy thin catfish ones, yeah. That's the way it's best.
Well, Mal, I'm going to let you get off here.
I got to get to this sausage and cream cheese.
Yeah, we'll get it.
We'll be back next week. Tyler, we got anything going on in the community?
No, y'all head on over there. I'm planning on starting a new giveaway here probably in the next week or so. So make sure y'all get to the facebook.com/group/H2Q community. Hang out with us there all weekend long. I know I'm commenting on stuff. Y'all are commenting on stuff. And
love the questions.
Yeah.
We got a lot of great information there.
Mm. A lot of great information. A lot of good. There's no dumb questions in the community. And I think people, aren't scared to ask. And I think,
there's
you're
a
not,
lot of people.
You're not going to jump on. Dude. You're not going to get jumped on for asking a dumb question. Most people there are willing to help you. So if you have questions and we don't get to them, somebody else is going to try to get to them for you. And that's what we want. We want to build that synergy where everybody's sharing stuff. And if you're cooking something cool, hey, share that, man. But everybody wants to see it. So
yeah. And if anybody makes fun of you for cooking on a pellet grill.
Yeah. Send them to see me. I've got an indoor one. I'll put them on that.
I'm not sure we can call this one a smoker.
The jury's still out.
We'll get some wings, let you know.
But, well, we appreciate y'all hanging out with us today. Shell, tell them where they can find us.
If you'd like to connect with Malcolm, it's HowToBBQRight on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and, of course, YouTube. If you'd like to connect with me, it's Miss Southern Shell.
All right. We'll see y'all next week. We gone.